Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 146.
Boosh!
Hey, yeah. That was pretty good. Except for we didn't say names afterwards. My name is Andy.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Nathan. I'm Brian.
The yeah, one boosh!
And
only.
The one Booyah. And only.
Done.
Brian is a special guest star. He comes to us from
Brian.
Battle Driven.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to know what it was like talking with people who played War Machine better than we did.
What? I guarantee we're better than them.
It's a toss-up.
We're a satirical podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hi. How's it going?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. Nope. Now that we're recording,
bipolar bear.
We're just gonna piss on the whole podcast community right now.
No, not the whole community, just the shitty parts.
Well, which ones do we do next?
The fucking Crippled System.
Fuck those guys.
Fuck Crippled System.
I don't even listen to that podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's like, no, I don't know. It doesn't make sense right now. You're listening to me.
I'm just being mean to Battle Driven because I'm jealous that you cheated on us with them.
I know. I was like. Well, Battle Driven's my backup plan if the bottom ever falls out on Crippled System.
Why would it ever fall out?
I don't know. You might.
No, I'm curious. Why do you? So you feel that we're gonna die
someday?
Are you gonna kill us
someday? It might happen. Well, if Brian comes back,
well,
he might just be like,
I highly doubt Brian's coming back.
Hey,
one day.
The day that Nathan stops coming to the podcast will be the day that we'll probably die.
What if Brian comes back that day?
That will probably mean that he just killed you.
We can only ride crackers and eggs for so long.
Yep.
I think Brian was a subtle glue in this podcast. I think he didn't get his. I think he was, you know, workmanship. He didn't have the Jeremy or the me like over the top thing,
yeah.
Or you with all your holes and ink.
And yeah,
but man, crackers and egg was the gift that kept on giving.
Yeah. I actually
you tried it?
No, when I oh, when God, I no. when I make like I'm super fat but whatever. Whenever I make like deep or chicken, like I'll bread it in pancake batter first. Like not the batter but the powder or whatever. And then I'll put eggs on it and then I'll dip it in Ritz crackers and that's how sure. I bread my chicken. But what I always do is I always accidentally overestimate how many crackers I need. So I'll take the remaining eggs and crackers and mix them up and fry it into a little patty, and I just named it the Brian.
But you cooked it.
I know.
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
I did cook it, which is...
Did you try it at least raw?
No, I would never eat.
He does it with saltines, though, doesn't he?
Eggs.
Yeah, it's saltines in that.
Saltines and raw
eggs. No, salmonella is not on the inside of the egg. It's on the outside.
That is actually true.
I know. Yeah. I just haven't gotten to that point in my life where I'm not like... muscle head enough to take on raw eggs, and I'm not Brian stupid to take on raw eggs and crackers.
Just don't suck on them, you know. Yeah. Don't suck on eggs. But,
what?
You just have to let that stuff slide down your throat, though.
I assume
you can't let it mellow in there.
No, you don't try and taste it.
No, you just take it down.
You chew it.
Champ.
Chew it.
We're maybe that's how Brian eggs, likes right? it. Though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eggs. Yep. Eggs.
We hadn't switched topics.
Eggs.
At all.
Eggs. Yep. Eggs. Eggs down the throat. Battle driven.
Tort says that episode of Battle Driven was a podcast art.
I know it was probably one of the best ones they've ever done. I mean, they should probably pay me more for it.
Wait,
I might still be on Chain Attack. I don't know. I haven't checked.
You are still. Yep.
At
the end of every episode so far,
boom.
You're still. It's movie advice from Nathan Hoffman.
What?
Yeah, I've been on like the last dozen or so episodes of Chain Attack.
See,
why the fuck is everyone else getting...
You were here when I recorded
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know, but why is everyone else getting invites to everything else and I don't?
Did you hear Ethan on Oz Machine?
Yeah, it was a good show.
I might have just broke my phone.
Uh-oh. I was on Oz Machine once.
Yeah, we all were. They all told us to shut up.
I wasn't on Oz Machine.
I did the first ADR batch. They asked for my input on Convergence.
Yeah,
no,
I remember that.
I had a really bad mic, so it was a terrible episode.
Mm-hmm.
That was before I broke my headset in half and bought a new one.
Hmm.
No, yeah.
I don't. That kind of brings up a small conversation we were having before. I really don't like Skype on podcasts. I don't like the audio quality. If the audio quality isn't there for me, I don't want to listen to it.
The other issue,
which is you shouldn't listen to our podcast. Our audio quality is shitty.
The one thing we have going for us is audio quality and beards. The two things amongst the things we have going for us are fear, surprise, audio quality, and beards.
It's a fear? Reference. Did you say fear, surprise?
Yeah. Okay. I was making the reference. What was I saying? No, the other thing with Skype is not just the audio quality, but you don't have, you can tell. It's like season four of Arrested Development, where the interaction isn't there because you can tell that one of the people isn't actually there.
Yeah.
And so they can't cue to other people like, ooh, I have something to add to the conversation. They just have to like awkwardly jump in, and then all of a sudden you just have a robot voice. Mm-hmm. And then
that's where the auto quality gets to me.
But even just not that, just the fact that there's not a, you know, conversational flow as much, I find.
Well, and there is the thing that I will give to Skype podcasts is that sometimes you get into points, and I'm going to use Battle Driven as an example, but it might be a poor one at that, is that these guys gel pretty well together for who they are. I mean, they bitch with the same ferocity that each one does. So they're so far from each other, though, that Skype is really the only way that they can make it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's as lucky as we are to be just surrounded by cool people who work together. I mean, if you listen to Muse, they have to Skype in Keith now because they just can't find anyone to replace him.
And that's the weird thing, because like with the Battle Driven or ones like that where everyone's Skyping, it's not as bad. But I listened to some Muse ones on accident, and what would happen is like four people would be talking to each other and having a conversation, and every once in a while Keith would talk, but you could tell that like he wasn't talking as much as he would or as organically with the conversation as he would if he was physically there.
Mm-hmm. He's not invested. Since he's not actually there.
Somebody should make a Skype thing where it has like a little red light that pops up. So like they can press it. So you're like, I'm going to try to speak now.
It's my turn. I've got something to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it is hard. It is a lot easier to interrupt someone while they're on Skype. I'm pretty sure I manhandled some of those guys. Because our podcast is much more like, we don't have a whole lot of gaps in between our conversation. We just kind of flow and let it roll. And when I first was on here, I felt like I was going to interrupt everybody, but now I'm just an asshole when I talk to people. But on there, I was just like, bam, you can't say shit because I'm going to talk now.
Yeah, but we do a good job of interrupting each other.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, but in an organic way. Like, that worked. You were in between sentences. It was good timing. It flowed. Yeah,
we got it.
Boom. We rarely trample.
No, we don't.
Not we'll often. Jockey for position, but not a lot of trampling.
Except when Jeremy was on the podcast, there was a lot of trampling going on.
Yeah.
You listen to some of the episodes with Jeremy. Jeremy was...
He's a trampler.
I got to talk.
Yep. Force that beast.
I farted.
Maybe nice. We should have one of the microphones underneath the table so that listeners can hear our bodily functions. And then maybe we can make a game out of it later where they try to like put our farts to who did it.
That would be interesting, yeah. Would have been more interesting when one of the episodes we had a female cast member.
Well, Ethan's close enough.
Yeah.
He looks like one from behind.
Can we hear you queef?
No.
Jesus Christ. I think the game should be called Farts Who Did It. That would be it.
But yeah, I don't know. It was a fun episode to go on there and screw around and talk about War Machine and bitch a little
bit. And how trolls are doomed forever.
I didn't think they were doomed forever.
Well, that was the episode before you. The episode before you was just 2 hours of them crying about trolls.
Yeah, it is what it is, if that's what makes you happy.
Speaking of which, how'd Wagpacka go?
It was fine. I actually, one of the...
Did you go, Ethan?
No. I was like, I'm not driving that far for a 35-pointer.
I was ringing because Andy had 7 people signed up for it. And I think and I know Andy wanted to touch on this, so I don't know if I'm stepping on your dick or not, but I'm going to reverse all of the bad things I've said about Wagpacka and say that it was actually really good, and I feel like we should probably focus on trying to get a little bit more involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really neat experience. One of the things about... I'm still pretty young in terms of my interactions with the wargaming community, and the one that I went into was very juvenile in of itself, too. So I don't see many things for boards outside of like some dirt on a painted plaque and then some shit terrain that either got bought on the internet somehow or some like Halloween town where you got that stuff from, or now like the Muse terrain out there is probably pretty much standard for me. That's basically all I ever use for my tables. But then I got to see like things there where it was like bi-level tables and ones that had the little like like sides built on it. So there was like an actual scenery in the background too. And then there was one that had like a river going through it. And then there was a little like water wheel turning on it. So that stuff was really cool to see. And I really did think that the people there were going to be a bunch of jerks, but they're actually really nice. It was a good time. I enjoyed myself. And, the War Machine people were really good. I think our only problem really was that the expectations for what we were to do there probably weren't really well defined to us, because the communication with the WAGPACA people was a little static. I didn't really get a whole lot out of them when I tried to ask questions. So I think if this becomes like a crippled system, Madison people trying to get their hands into it, I think that it could get pretty large, and it'd be really nice because to see just more War Machine there in general, because people are coming over and checking out our stuff and looking at all the models and just looking at the game in general. And I think we were definitely the least represented game there. I think Infinity maybe had 12 tables set up.
Yeah, they had definitely at least double what we had there. But it's a smaller game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or as in smaller numbers of models for the game.
Yeah, but if people started getting behind it a little bit more, I think that the tournament could easily pull 30 people in just War Machine.
Sure,
if not more, because it's in a weird location.
I had a lot of people emailing me specifically because I was listed as the TO that was on there, and a lot of people interested in going. But again, what I've always said, what we always said for the past 6 weeks, is that the price point of entry for it was way too much for the type of event that we were going to have there. I did find out some other things kind of behind the scenes. The reasoning behind that is that they were taking money from people before they had some of the tournaments already set up. So when they were planning one-day tournaments, they didn't have a way to fairly refund money. So they basically just charge everybody that $20 or $30 weekend pass to come there. So that's next year, that will be different. So it will not be, you know, where you have to take a second mortgage on your Ironclad to come out to the event.
Yeah, $30 for a 35-point event. When you're paying $1 a point. No,
$50.
Yeah, 50. Yeah, oh, yeah, because there's 30 for the pass, then like
$20 for the event. Yep.
Even that's insane.
It is pretty intense. Like, the thing is, if there were more reasons to go there for a War Machine player outside of just for one tournament, it would be good. They had a guy from Chimera who was there, and Bob. He was selling some stuff. I bought some stuff off of him because I can't go to one of these things.
They didn't have a guy from Chimera. They had the owner of Chimera.
When I saw him, I was like, I had a hard time placing him, but I knew him. I knew his face. I knew his voice. And I'm like, I've seen you before. I just don't remember. And then when he said Chimera, I was like, oh, yeah. Now I remember, because I haven't been there since Magic and War Machine, and any Chimera store is basically dead for all I know. It's silent from what I've seen.
I've known him since I was in grade school.
He was a legit guy, and he talked to me for a while, and it seemed like he actually wanted to talk to me instead of just like talking to me because I was there. But at any rate, that was really the only thing that was set up there that was like an additional thing. If you were a fantasy player or something, I could see where paying the $20 or the $30 for the weekend pass is legit, because that's what you do there all day, all the time. But I think, did we figure out that next year we can try and like make that a little different as far as price is concerned?
Yeah, pricing for next year will be different, and we'll have different. It'll be handled differently. It will not be $50 to go to this event.
Yep.
The only requirements are they have some other silly things for the event. So they have all weekend you can, in any of your games, you have like an iron die, and you could re-roll any of your things.
I really wanted one of those fucking dice.
I got one. It's ridiculously heavy. But it's. It's just something you can re-roll one thing during the entire game, which for War Machine makes it pretty legitimate.
It's a pretty big deal.
It is a really big deal.
In Fantasy, it doesn't matter for shit half the time, but for War Machine, it was the difference between me killing someone's caster and them getting my overrun target to tough. Or my overrun, like not the target of the spell, because I figured out how it works now.
Good.
It was proud the of you. Thing that I intended to kill. To make overrun happen tough.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
With the reroll.
With the reroll.
Yeah. And then they also have kind of like an odd little thing, which is like the Man of Intrigue. Mm-hmm. That is just a simple model that's in anybody's army. But in War Machine, there isn't any kind of thing other than maybe making it objective, your Man of Intrigue. I made just a separate card that we would just accompany with your armies. It was kind of like a mix between a Madeline Corbeau and a Reinhold. It just kind of everybody got.
So. One of my opponents did make a model specifically for his Man of Intrigue and use that as the Man of Intrigue. Is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's technically what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have like a custom model be, you know, like this model. I will be making some changes next year because somebody did decide to use their Denny 3 as their Man of Intrigue, which is a huge base model.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Might want to require it be small base or something.
Medium or small base, I think it would be a perfectly good one. You could have an ogre and be a Man of Intrigue.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, well, you know.
Somebody did have I saw one of the Legion players had a Man of Intrigue model that was an ogre, and he was an ogre with a mohawk and a cannon. It looked like it was John.
Sure.
Just modeled differently. It was pretty neat. That was one of the other things, too, that I think might have turned some people off from this if they were paying attention to WOGPACA at all, was that I think there's this idea that that your army must be fully painted in order to play there, or else they'll take you off the table. That's not the case. The thing is it functions in what I would consider like more of a European style of gaming, where you have clubs, and at the end of the weekend, there's like an overall club winner, depending on how many like tournaments they either won or painting like best in show things that have been won. And the thing is if you're playing for your club and you have unpainted models in your army, then you just lose points for your club. So it's not that it's not like Adepticon where they just rip you off the table. Not that Adepticon does that, but it's kind of the
technically by the rules they're supposed to.
Yeah.
But at this one, it wasn't as detrimental to your enjoyment of the game. So War Machine, I think, above all games, seems to have more unpainted armies than not.
Well, that comes from, I think, amongst all minis games, it puts the most focus on being a competitive game
than a hobby game. Yep.
I mean, the hobby's still part of it, but, mm-hmm. you know, like, things like fantasy, you're painting, well, even Games Workshop, despite what their names is, they will admit that they are a hobby workshop first. Mm-hmm. Like, the game is just an excuse to have your miniatures be on the table so you can all ooh and ah them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, they do not consider themselves a game company. And I think that's why War Machine is so different than that, is that they're really the ones that front and center just go, it's actually about the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing at one point in time there was a rule, maybe you can shed some light on this for me just so I can bury it, but like, at one point you didn't have to have the model in its entirety on the base, like you could just have the legs of a Stormclad and it would be okay?
I don't think that was ever actually a legal thing.
Okay,
no,
maybe
no.
It was just some misconception that I picked up.
It's more
like in casual games people are okay with that sometimes, but that's never been tournament legal.
I see a torso-less galleon all the time.
Well, yeah, we have one person in our meta that has a... Galleon, yeah, but it's mainly just to fit models around it.
Yeah, because it's foliage. He just takes it off and can put on when he needs to. That's just so you don't have to do like Titan charging.
It's not like we have people trying to hold up their gargantuans with clipped up clothing hangers or anything like that.
That was one time, and you can fuck off.
What?
Don't you remember that like the tier list event? I ran double Woldrath, and one of mine fell apart. So I use some clothes hangers to like.
That wasn't when I walked up and just yanked the face out of him, was it?
Yeah.
You told me I could.
That was the other one. That was the one that didn't fall apart.
Okay.
you could break the one that didn't break.
Listen, I asked him. I said, hey, can I rip the head off of this model? And he said, yeah, go ahead. So I did. And then he was surprised.
No, I. Part of me didn't think you'd do it, but then I remembered you're an asshole.
I asked permission. Because I was like, I want to show you something, but to show it to you, I need to rip the head off of this Woldrath, may I do so?
No. You didn't say may I. You probably said can I, in which he was agreeing with you. Yes, you could do that. Had you said may I break this model?
My mom's an English teacher. I would have said may I.
Are you sure? Are you sure you've been saying can I for the
Nathan has
bit?
The wooden spoon scars for it.
I do, that bitch.
So yeah, I guess like all over, WOGPACA was really interesting. I got to meet 7 people that I've never met before in the War Machine community. I don't think they network socially, like through internet media, but it was nice to.
Well, a couple of them actually have listened to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
But not many of them. So yeah, I feel really bad for the past like 6 weeks that we've talked about this in our announcements. So we've given them kind of like, this is gonna suck, you know.
I don't think you guys were that bad. I mean, we poo-pooed the price, and the price I was surprised that there actually was a place called Waupaca.
If you ever went
to, I thought that was just an orc joke.
If you ever went to Bear Boob Game Nights, you probably would have had a much different picture.
Were you guys poo-pooing?
I sure as shit was. I got so bad to the point, and I apologize to the Waupaca people in advance for this, because you all seem like very nice people.
It was, yeah. Everybody there was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good time. Great. I didn't have one bad experience.
Brian was there.
But I was legit. I pulled punches, except for the last round. But my lists in War Room were titled Crap Paca.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, my third round, I was working on 3 hours of sleep because I played games in Baraboo until 1 a.m. And I woke up. Went, got dressed, and got ready. Andy showed up. We did the McDonald's thing and had a chat in the ride. But then, like, as the day went on, my day got shittier and shittier. And then I paid $15 for all-you-can-eat burgers that probably made me sick. So at the end of the second round, I just, like, walked out, got some water, and almost fell asleep on a bench. And then some kid gave me a high five because my hand was sticking up. Because I was holding my head like this. Fuck that idiot. So in the third round, I was just like so dead tired. And the guy I was playing with, it seemed like he was playing. A lot of these guys hadn't played scenarios before, so it was a very new experience for them. So he was playing Denny 2, and I got right up in his grill with my mostly infantry army and was like, you should feat now. That's what I was thinking. I'm going to get a Denny feat, and then that'll be that. But he held it. Because I think he had a stalker that was trying to walk up to behind Gorshade and just, like, pop him on. He was using the feet to lower defense to get at him.
Sure.
When he only needs sevens. But I just, like, I was so tired and ready to be done with the game that I just ran a Black Bane feated and killed her on no camp. And I was just, like, top of two.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
But I did talk to the guy afterwards. Every opponent, I talked to them and tried to make sure that they would like understand some of the rules they might have been getting wrong. Or like one of the Borka guys, I taught him how to top Borka off first and then fill up the stone when it was full. So there was a lot of exchange happening. So I did talk to the guy about his Denny list a lot and talked to him about Peacegar because he really liked her too.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I was like, I get the fuck off my table. I'm going to go sleep now. Yeah. And then the whole way home, Andy decided to give me an education in metal instead of let me sleep.
Yeah, that's what I should do. And then, I should have did that all the way up.
When I did get home, though, there were four things I needed to do. I needed to sleep. I needed to shit. I needed a shower. And I needed to vomit. But I didn't know in which order those things would happen.
Same time. All in the shower.
It basically was. So, like, I peed. And then after I peed, I puked just straight down, and then I turned around and shit, and then got in the shower and then fell asleep
in the shower.
Yep.
In your shit?
No, not in my, that was in the toilet. I got up, then got in the shower.
Oh, I thought you were in the shower and you peed and turned around and shit and then fell asleep.
No, that's what I was saying. You should have done, because it would have been all then one just hole. Like
stomp it down.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to turn my shower into like one of those like like 1900s or like early 1800s like grape stomping things. Like I'd make wine out of my own bile and feces.
Only if you slip and fall and make noises like the grape lady.
Well, it probably would happen. There's like a bunch of
lady
benches in my shower, and it's really narrow. So if I did, I'd probably like bonk my head back and forth like a Plinko chip. So that was Waupaca.
You could put pegs in your on the bathtub ground, and then when you poo, the poo can bounce on the pegs like Plinko.
That would be one thing to do. Yeah, but I had righteous diarrhea shits. I tell you. Those burgers were just, it just wasn't, what didn't hit. How was your brat? Like,
the brat was fine-ish.
Yeah, they were.
I didn't get sick.
I ate a lot of pineapple. Maybe, I don't know, am I allergic to pineapple now? I'm not sure.
I don't know how you can be allergic to pineapple.
I don't know. I was allergic.
Speaking of that, we should have this is not good topic for podcast, but we should have a samba day.
As bad as his feces.
Like, Amanda and I, there was a Groupon thing for sambas not too long ago, like just at the tail end of December. And on the last day we went in and we either had to come in at 9 or come in the next week. So we said next week, couldn't go. So now we're like fiending to go. So sambas is on the, it's on my radar.
Sunday lunch morning, is like $20. Oh, and cool. It is completely worth it. I mean,
I saw one of the guys just like bringing out this big stick of meat, and I was like, ugh, I don't know what's bigger, that stick of meat or my dick in my pants right now.
Yeah. It was the stick of meat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it's a toss up.
But I mean, you miss out on a couple of the meats on the brunch. But I mean,
you miss out on the barbecue chicken and the Parmesan pork. I don't give a shit about either of those. Yeah. You miss out on one of the sausages. But I actually like the Sunday breakfast sausage replacement for it more.
Yes.
And so you actually miss out on there's two different beefs on dinner time, and at the brunch time there's only one of them. So you're missing out on one of the beefs. The Parmesan encrusted pork becomes the honey ham. You lose the barbecue chicken entirely, and they change the sausage. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because I like the other sausage more. Who gives a shit about Parmesan pork when you're there for beef anyway? Mm-hmm. And so you're getting your sirloin. Yeah.
And you
got like scrambled eggs and bacon and stuff.
Yeah. And you have pineapple.
Well, of course. They keep the pineapple. That's all that matters. Fucking amazing. Fucking roasted pineapple.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
No matter how much I tell them to, they won't give me just a whole pineapple off of the skewer onto my plate.
You just shook.
I almost did go to the Schofield or whatever event today, but then I bailed on it. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Plus, I'd probably still be there right now. Otherwise, I mean, I know we kind of like ran right over announcements, but I think there's February 20th. There's an event in Oshkosh. It's like a 50-point. Two list steamroller. I think this one's actually you have to play both.
That's on the 20th?
The 20th of February.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Seems like everything's going on the 20th.
It is the same day as a 35 point event that I set up about a month ago in Baraboo for our league people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably be running it remotely.
It worked that
way. You can bail on the tournament that you're running?
I can't get over it, man. I think I mentioned Pete's Garage too much to where if I say it one more time, he'll probably murder me. But before that is on the 13th at the Realm of the Dragon. There's a Devastation release event there. So that's a Milwaukee event that I'm 100% going to get to. Other than that, I haven't seen much in terms of Wisconsin for March. So
maybe I'll run something in March.
Yeah, Paul, I think we were saying something about it.
Paul's supposed to be running an event in March.
Oh, okay.
One of the 18 press gangers that we have in town.
We only have five.
Who the hell's Paul?
Is that one Hasselbrook. Guy?
He's originally from Springfield.
Never mind, Paul.
Yeah, Kurt's from.
I know his name.
Yeah.
I know his name.
He's the newest of our five press gangers.
He plays the morticians for Guild Ball.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Guild Ball's shitty and dumb and shitty, and you should never play that shitty game. You should play War Machine instead. Right, Andy?
Yeah. That's
bum.
Hey, that's a segue.
That's a fucking segue,
bitches. So, that's professional podcasting. Don't do what Donnie Don't does.
Yeah, exactly. So that is a perfect example of what you should not do when you're trying to promote your game that you want to have other people play, is rag on the game that they're currently playing.
That was mine to play with.
I was checking if he had super glued it from last week, but he has not.
No. That's why you guys should stop playing with it so it doesn't break any further.
I think it's irreparable at this point. Because even with the super glue,
it needs to
flex by its nature.
Well, I can put a clamp around it.
You can pin it.
The clamps!
Just pin it.
The clamps.
Well, that is basically a clamp.
The clamps!
Clamp the clamp.
But
go on.
my subjects don't matter. I'm just permanently derailed. But that's kind of one of the biggest issues I have with Guild Ball now. And it's not specifically one person. There's a few people.
Three.
Yeah. But there's a few people that basically they want to promote Guild Ball, but then they shit on, War Machine. Oops. Or they shit on any other game. It goes with any game, too. It's like you're trying to promote War Machine, and then you shit on Warhammer 40K or something like that.
Well, that's just easy.
It's easy, but we try not, at least when I'm trying to promote it, we try not to degrade somebody else's game.
I try to keep my promoting of War Machine and my shitting of Warhammer separate.
Yeah. Yes.
Separate. Like, I actually, because I do hate Warhammer as a game, and I love War Machine, but I am conscious when I'm talking to somebody about War Machine, I'm like, okay, Nathan, now is not the time to explain to them that Age of Sigmar is the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
save
yeah.
that for another conversation, because you're right. It does no favor. It makes you look like an asshole, mm-hmm. which actually makes your game less appealing to them.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Rather than saying, hey, why don't you come over here and try this out? Instead, you don't want to insult somebody. And if that's one of the games that they really enjoy playing, insulting their game is basically insulting them.
Well, I think I somehow made somebody from Malifaux quit War Machine during Malifaux Gate. There was a YouTube comment where someone said, oh, I'm glad I'm leaving this War Machine game now, fucking blah.
Yeah.
All because I pissed on... I didn't even piss. I, like, dribbled. Like, I shook. I pissed on something else, like, probably the hour and a half that I sacrifice every night for this thing. Not every night, just Sunday. And then the dribble from that landed on a Malifaux person, and it just tainted their whole piss pool.
They were really angry.
They were super angry.
I talked them down, though. They liked me by the end of that.
I thought about, like, rejoining a weird place after that just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
But I think that they probably have a wanted poster.
I meant to post a link in that thread to the next episode where you guys talked about Malifaux for like an hour.
Yeah.
And you meant, because they kept talking about how you were ignorant and couldn't possibly know what you were talking about. I know
exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, the next episode you mentioned being a whatever the fuck they call press henchman. Gangers. A henchman. You mentioned being a henchman or a pundit is what Guild Ball has.
Yeah, pundits, Guild Ball. I don't even know what this sports thing means. When they say pitch, I'm just like, okay, maybe that's a fun word for a table in England.
It's the field.
Yeah.
They call it a pitch instead of a field.
I did learn that.
Hey, you know what the regulation size for a soccer field is?
Not 3x3.
Too fucking large.
I have no idea.
There isn't one. True story.
Oh, really?
You can make your pitch whatever the fuck size you want.
So Games Workshop does things for soccer, too.
I would seriously make that thing as narrow as hell.
Yeah.
And then put up, like, solid spike walls.
Yeah.
On each side of them, so people can get checked in them. Or like right where, so there would be no out of bounds. You kick the ball, it doesn't go out of bounds. It just bounces into one of the spikes, and then you have to replace the ball.
Get a new one. Yeah, this is a very expensive sport, Andy.
I'm fine with that.
Play with medicine balls. No, and then even it won't get impaled.
Yeah, or we'll just play with a steel ball.
Yeah,
yeah. No, watch the soccer players try to kick that thing down the field.
Well, they can have steel-toed boots.
Okay, that's fine. That's even better. Oh, this is an amazing game.
Yeah, we're inventing a future sport. What was the one movie that they did the remake with Rebecca Romaine O'Connell?
What?
You broke my head.
There was the 70s sports movie, and then they did the remake with Rebecca Romaine.
It's Rollerball.
Was that Rollerball?
It's the original was with James Caan.
Yeah, and then the sequel, the remake had Rebecca Romaine O'Connell.
And she wasn't O'Connell at that time.
Stamos?
It was Stamos.
Was she, or was she just Rebecca Romaine?
It might be Rebecca Romaine. I don't know.
Is that the Whoa guy?
Whoa.
Whoa.
No, that's Joey Lawrence. Why the fuck do I know that?
Andy lost street cred. Throw away all your metal CDs now, you little pussy.
He's going to go to that that big metal show in Iceland he's always talking about. And they're going to be like, you know who Joey Lawrence is, and just bludgeon him to death. Iced Earth is going to call you up onto stage just to bludgeon you. They're gonna like rip the sleeve off of your shirt, you know.
Just rip the skin. I don't have any tattoos,
yeah.
But they're just gonna rip that skin off anyway, yeah. Just so you can't get a tattoo.
Yeah, it's like when they rip the medals off of somebody before they strip them of command.
Yep.
Yeah. Iced Earth is gonna do that to you.
Or like I'm part of a biker gang and I get inked all over my tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't have any tattoos, so they're just ink my whole arm. Yeah,
they'll just give you a black sleeve to prevent you from ever having an Iced Earth tattoo.
Yes.
They're like, this is to make sure.
I'm to hand in your denim jacket, Andy.
I don't have a denim jacket.
I thought I'd give you one. Not in your meatloaf picture. You were wearing a denim jacket.
No, that was just a shirt.
For some reason, I saw the face, and I'm like, there's a denim jacket there. I don't even have to. It's like filling in the blanks almost.
Yeah. There's no way this face does not have a denim jacket underneath it.
You're scrolling up and you're like, yep, that's all I need to see.
Yep.
I'm done.
Or like Nathan's where you don't think there's a massive machete underneath him.
Do you know what shirt I was wearing though, right?
It was not... Meatloaf.
It was not Meatloaf. It was a Quiet Riot t-shirt.
Oh, well, that's like, that's punk, though. That's different, right?
Come Quiet on, Riot
is no, 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 never mind. Not punk. I'm, yeah, what am I? I don't
Girls
know.
Girls rock your boys.
I just want to listen to my
Quiet Riot song.
My Aqua and Kylie
which isn't a Quiet Riot song.
I know.
He just wanted to, like, sing on a microphone once.
No. It truly isn't a Quiet Riot song. It's from Slade.
It doesn't matter. You handed in your metal card.
Two of Quiet Riot's biggest hits that they have, Mama, We're All Crazy Now and Come On, Feel the Noise, are not Quiet Riot. That's a band called Slade.
Okay.
They're remakes.
Who was on Friends?
Is Slade the one that does Runaway?
I believe.
Runaway?
I believe so.
See Chameleon lying there in the sun. All thanks to everyone. Runaway. I think that's Slade.
I think that's Slade.
I like that song.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Metal Hell.
Couldn't tell. Ethan, what's your favorite Slade song?
I can't pick.
Well, that's a shame.
I like that Barbie Girl song.
Yeah, that's Slade.
Yeah, that's good. So, don't piss on other people's games on a podcast.
Or even in person.
Don't even piss on other people's games. I mean,
piss on people's games. That's fine.
You could do it with friends that you know, but I don't know. It's just
you can piss on games.
Mm-hmm.
But don't piss on games as a tool to try to convince people that your game is better and that they should play it instead.
Or don't piss on people because of their game.
That is also a big
thing. Correct. Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, too...
Unless that game is Age of Sigmar.
Nah,
if you watch Ren and Stimpy, don't piss on the electric fence as well.
Yeah.
Don't piss on that game, because that game, it's literally electric fence.
It is.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren and Stimpy.
Oh my God! Is that a thing?
Have you not seen that?
I have not seen that.
Kylo Ren and Stimpy.
Oh my God! That's amazing.
It's like one of those things where where you see, like, it says J.R. Tolkien, and he's got his mouth open, and then it's J.R.R. Listening.
Oh sure.
So this one says Kylo Ren and Kylo Stimpy. It's pretty good, but
it's like Christopher Walken and Christopher Running or whatever. Yeah,
Christopher Walken, Christopher Standing. But no, I'm guilty often of pissing on other games because I just don't like them, and I think it's fine that I do that, but I won't piss on somebody because of the game they play. That's just not something that I gel with.
Well, there's one I saw of Stimpy as a stormtrooper.
That might have been around for a while, though.
Yeah, Kylo Ren and Stimpy.
There you go.
Yep, it's the internet. It exists. So... I think, I'm trying to think of all the games that I've pissed on over the years, and it's a lot of them. But a lot of it's because of, like, the internal mechanics of the game or something that I don't like about it, like with Games Workshop having, like, million-dollar models now in order to play the game the way you want to. Like, everybody likes big storm surges, but they're, like, $100 or something.
But again, you don't buy the models to play the game. You buy the models for the models.
Thanks a lot, GW Rep Ethan.
Just saying. We literally just said that earlier. Like, you don't buy Games Workshop models for the game.
No, a lot of people do, though. There's a ton of neckbeards out there that do that.
Next, electrical wine podcast where we all just do our best impression of a transistor box.
Yeah, basically. Or I'm just trying to see.
What's her name from Bob's Burgers?
Louise?
Not Louise. The oldest. I can't think of her name right now.
Tina.
Yes. Yep. Now we're trying to harmonize.
We could.
That's right. Tina's right. So awesome.
One,
Bob's
two,
Burgers is so good.
Three.
Quality podcasting, people.
That's going to be my new ringtone.
Somehow people listen to us.
Not anymore.
Done.
We're not even trying to be decent this week.
No, we're not. We're just the utter shit right now.
Two weeks ago, we were all War Machine. Last week, we were all whatever. And then this week's just shit.
Exactly. This is Crippled System at its finest. But, like, when I was at Wagpacka, this may tie into a little bit of what we were talking about with pissing on other games is, I've never been a big fan of fantasy. Like, some of the models look all right, but for the most part, I'm just not a big fan of the way the game plays or anything like that, or Games Workshop in general. But... it was still interesting to be around the people who were playing that and see the passion that they have for it, or like the modeling aspect that they really enjoyed. There are a lot of really cool looking armies, and I think no matter what, in every game you can find something that's good about it, And that's why Guild Ball's amazing and the rest of them suck, because it takes everything that's good about the game.
Come on, man. Now you're not even trying.
No, I was just being condescending. But oh, are you turning my microphone off now?
I don't know if I can unplug from that.
Don't even have to. Done. Done.
That's mean. I'm going to talk super loud anyways so other people can hear me.
I don't think I pressed that button. Or did I? I did.
God damn it. Okay. So, no. It was just, that's the kind of thing that you get out of it, is you hear people giving those kind of statements. Like, one of the big ones was like, Guild Ball is good. War Machine is bad because Guild Ball's good. I'm thinking I'm mixing it up. But, like, the stagnancy of War Machine is causing Guild Ball to be better somehow, or because Guild Ball is the game that they like at the moment, War Machine is stagnant. I don't buy into that that line of thinking. I think
This time of year is stagnant for War Machine every year. This is the off season.
Well, and Guild Ball just decided to drop right around this time in America, at least getting bigger or gaining momentum. And I'd like to see the game take off and do well, but at the expense of War Machine players, I think that's incorrect, because they're going to get to a point where they have the same problem with Guild Ball too, and then there will be a couple of releases or a packet that comes out for War Machine, and then they'll go back to that and say Guild Ball's shit. So I just don't think that demonizing another game is a good way to get people into your game.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I've always tried to take the
high road.
You know, it's people play. I have good friends of mine that really like some of the aspects of War Machine, but they like 40K better, and just mainly because of they play with each other in a sense. They don't play with a big crowd. So
that is
an
accurate representation of what you do in 40K. You sit around and jerk each other off.
No, not that. No, but you
and that's why War Machine's good.
Fucking A. Oh. Who wants to be on the podcast next week?
Not me. Well, no, but that's a different thing, because any games, anything you do with your friends, if you're doing it just to be with your friends, it's fine as a thing to do with your friends. That doesn't mean it's not a terrible thing.
Yeah, kicking around a can is a fine thing to do, too. If it's what you like doing with your friends, no big deal.
Some people sit around and play Munchkin with every expansion for 12 hours at a time because it's what their group does, and that's fucking terrible.
Some people show up at the game store with every expansion of Munchkin, and they look longingly across the room for anybody coming to play with them.
Yeah.
That's like social leprosy.
He built a little wall on his table out of all the boxes facing the door, so you came in and you just saw the Great Wall of Depression, and you just like took a walk. Angle around him to get to the other people playing better games in the back of the room.
Yeah, if you get within 3 feet of that, you just get cancer or something.
Oh my god, you just didn't make eye contact. He's like, you want to play Munchkin? No, go fucking die.
Yep. And cheat while you're at it.
I'm not saying Munchkin's a bad game.
It's a terrible game.
Yeah.
It's a terrible game.
But him being a terrible game.
Not saying he's a terrible person for playing it.
Yeah. Correct.
Hypocrisy.
No, because again, you didn't walk up to a table of people playing Munchkin and say, wow, Munchkin's fucking shit and you're stupid for playing it. If you were a decent person, you'd be over here playing Resistance instead.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, it's fine. Like, nobody's saying don't say something shit. You're allowed to have your opinion, and if it's shit, you can say it's shit. Just don't, you know, say the person's shit for liking it, because it's a difference of opinion, unless it's Age of Sigmar or Nickelback. If they like Age of Sigmar or Nickelback, they are shit. But apart from that, people just have different opinions.
Yeah, I'm getting that way with Cards Against Humanity now.
Oh, that's shit, too. That game is fucking terrible.
The problem that I've worked myself into is that now, instead of just saying it's crappy when it's not even in the room, I say it while my friends are forcing me to play it to people that I've just met. And I might call them borderline retarded during that game, too. And,
you have.
Yeah, I have. It's been rough. But I'm starting to get out of that a little bit. I'm
don't
growing
get out
as
of
a
it.
Person.
That, I'm going to go full of oxygen. This is a right as a human being. Not a right, a duty. A duty is what I meant to say. This is your onus. Is you stop people from playing Cards Against Humanity at all costs.
Yeah.
Set the game on fire. Set them on fire. Do whatever you have to do to make them not play that fucking abomination.
Politically incorrect is a really good version of the game.
So
personally incorrect, sorry.
Yeah.
The other thing, well, it has nothing pertaining to the subject, but it might set Nathan off. I did get Nathan to admit that he likes something with ketchup in it.
It was Meatloaf.
No.
No, it wasn't Meatloaf. Because Raylene forced me to buy ketchup the other day because she wanted to make Meatloaf. And I'm like, if you're going to make Meatloaf.
Imagine the look on your face when you slam that fucking bottle down on the counter. Just like, I will take this.
No, McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, well, McDonald's cheeseburgers are a very interesting food item in that you think you're getting a burger and it tastes like maybe what you think a burger should taste like, but it really isn't a burger.
Yeah,
nothing tastes like a McDonald's cheeseburger. Like they don't taste like you can have a cheeseburger from 10 other restaurants and they'll all be different, but they all have that cheeseburgerness. But the McDonald's one is just fucking unique somehow.
Yeah,
like it tastes different.
I will say though,
I like them. They're their own good flavor.
McDonald's cheeseburgers they have to be fresh, otherwise I can't eat them. They're if I left it in the bag for like more than a half hour, it's junk. I'm going to throw it out.
Yeah, it's dead to you.
Yeah.
My brother, while we were growing up, and I think he still does this to this day too, if he gets a McDonald's burger and the bun isn't fluffy, he will take it back and say that he wants a different bun. And they do it. I mean, like, they don't care. It's just like, he's like, this bun is a little stale, but he's like, it's just not. He, like, when we were kids, he used to like put it on his face.
Yeah.
To see if it was fluffy.
No, see, okay.
Does he not have hands?
He
does, but that's like how he would feel. I don't know if it was just the I don't know. It was weird.
Every single time I've gone to McDonald's, my cheeseburger has always looked like the cheeseburger that defense gets.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just like smushed.
Always. Yeah. Always. Like it's always just completely smashed.
Yeah. Hey, that's fine.
I'm fine with that.
That's part of the joy of a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Correct. That's the experience.
Yes.
Yeah. They're flat. They always have the one seam like across the middle of the top of it. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
I do also, I have a tendency of the only way I eat my McDonald's cheeseburgers is I'll take one of the bottom bun off. And then I'll stack French fries on it, and then that's my vehicle for eating French fries, too.
No.
Yeah, it's pretty legit, and I put a big reservoir of ketchup in there, too.
No.
It's so good. Like, it drips down my face and into my beard. It looks like I just murdered somebody with my teeth.
No.
Did you try the bat catcher trick with your teeth?
The what?
The bat catching trick with your teeth.
No, I haven't tried that.
It's probably the best episode or skit that ever appeared on Mad TV, which is Kenny Rogers' Jackass.
Kenny Rogers' Jackass is pretty good.
Yep.
No, I didn't get too big into Mad TV, but I hear that Mad TV then is much better than Saturday Night Live now.
That is true.
That's true. Besides the undercover boss, Kyle Ren.
Eh.
It
was okay. It could have been 1,000 times better.
Was it only funny because it was Star Wars?
No, it was funny because it was Kylo Ren. Him in what would be a normal situation.
Yeah.
And it was good. The only reason it was good, I think, was the fact that it wasn't just one of the cast members doing a Kylo Ren impression. They actually had the actor from Star Wars playing it himself, which, you know, helped the sketch.
Well, now that I think about it, it was funny because I think a good portion of people who saw the movie had already pictured him being that way, like this just bitchy, whiny, I want my toys guy. Like,
yeah.
So I think that's why it carried over so well. But yeah, I mean, we just don't have comedy legends like we had, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, you look at the 90s era SNL and you have Phil Hartman and Mike Myers before he was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
David Spade and Dana Carvey. And just, yeah, that era, the church lady, Wayne's World, Phil Hartman, Chris Farley. Like, that cast was fucking amazing.
It was. It was probably one of the better ones, unless you want to start looking at, like, early the Chevy Chase,
I think Jim Belushi era. I think that cast was more polished.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think as far as consistent good product, they were better. Because you look, Netflix has the whole series of SNL on it now, or at least it did for a while, because I remember Raylene was watching from episode one on, and man, is it really fucking hit or miss.
Yeah.
Like, there's a huge cultural filter where you only remember one sketch per episode because the other 15 sketches weren't funny.
But it's basically groundbreaking. In general.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I'm saying, is like the 90s era was pretty fucking consistent, man.
Pretty decent.
Maybe that's just the evolutionary track of SNL, because from the way I understand it, SNL, when it first started out, was kind of like where the new people were.
Yeah.
And then in that 90s era is where, like, these are probably the more established people in comedy. Either that or that's what it's bastardized into now, because even Chris Farley and all those guys, that was pretty early in their career, and then they got into movie making, but now it seems like it's the other way around. Like, maybe Either that or it's just that guy from All That that's there that makes it funny.
Yeah, yeah, the one, what's his name, Keenan or Cal? Yeah, he's one of the two.
The fat one.
Oh, yeah, from Good Burger.
Yeah,
yeah. Good Burger. Yeah. Yeah. The only reason why I brought back up Mad TV is a couple weeks ago, Mad TV had a 20th anniversary or 10-year anniversary. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was 20-year anniversary of the show.
That'd be depressing.
Yeah, I think so. Jesus. But that anniversary show was the worst piece of shit I have ever seen in my life. All they did was just basically slowly recap all the good skits. Didn't even show you the good skits.
They just talked about
them? They just talked about them the entire time. While they were trying to have like some kind of weird... They were trying to get into an award show about them. So it was the group of the Mad TV folks trying to get into an award show, and they were just recapping about all the things that they talked about and had for the last 20 years.
So it's kind of like when somebody describes a comic strip.
Yes.
Like, so, and then the first panel, the dog is really tired. And then the second panel, the squirrel says, "Nixon, what?" And then the third panel, the dog's got like big googly eyes, and he says, "Parmesan!"
Exactly. Can somebody draw that comic for us?
Hey, it's another shirt idea.
Did you see somebody drew the Robert E. Lee Kawaii Senpai thing?
Yeah, that was precious. We need more artistically talented people drawing the things we say, like Shattern.
Shattern. I forgot about Shattern.
Yeah, Shattern is a good one.
I don't even remember Shattern.
That was where we were talking about if you were shitting your pants and then you got in stuck in orbit and then the ring that was around the planet that you were shitting out of.
Where the fuck was I? I've been on every podcast. I do not remember this at all.
I think when we start, you just like blank it out like somebody's like tickling your nose with a dick.
I might just be...
How is that a metaphor?
It is. It works. I mean, if someone's tickling
your nose with a dick, you black out?
Exactly, because you can't remember that.
I'm pretty sure you remember that.
You can't. You can't do it. Yeah, it's like a...
I know, your mom remembers. Snap! What? Because I had sex with her.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I did not.
Yep. But do you remember me wagging my dick in your nose?
Yes.
No, you don't.
I have nightmares about it. I think that the memory blocking didn't take.
We can try it again.
So, all right. So Shattern, you're in outer space.
Yeah, we're talking about Nathan, like, from orbit.
Yeah, we're talking about farts boosting you around, like if you were in zero gravity.
Yeah.
And then it turned into like, what if you shit? And then I pictured Nathan like drifting around a planet with like this shit ring around him.
It was Shattern.
And if you have diarrhea, you could keep it going long enough where you could have like little gaseous rings around.
Yeah, Shattern. We talked about using the fart to propel yourself.
Yeah.
I think I remember that. Yeah, I really don't remember
Shattern. The room died when Shattern came up. Like, that word was such magic.
It was. I think Tort can fact check us.
Tort remembers Shattern. I don't.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, this is why I had Nathan write down topics, because next day when I'm posting this podcast, I will not remember a fucking thing that we talked about.
You know what you don't remember? Is to take the list to work with you.
Correct.
Dick cheese. That list is like 50 entries long.
That was a long-ass list.
Yeah, that's a long list. And then the episode summary on the Muse website was just, "I've left the list at home."
Oh man. Well, there goes that job.
You have to use that list for this episode now.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's not going to make any sense.
So?
Neither do we. Uses it
I don't think anybody reads those anyway.
I think...
Because we used to do timestamps, and...
When I see timestamps, I'll look at the timestamps just to see if there's anything that I really like. If the timestamps are stupid and I don't want to listen to it, but... You know, I usually listen to it anyways.
I think with our podcast, we're so tangent that it's very difficult to even bring in timestamps into ours, because we'll be on a subject, then we'll go off to this subject, then we'll be back to that subject we were talking about, then we'll go off to this thing, and then we'll try to bring it back to here, and it'll eventually go over to here, and yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah, so prepare next year for WOGPACKA to be really interesting and awesome with War Machine tournaments.
Exactly. And we're sorry for ragging on it for the past... Seriously, I am sorry for ragging on it for the past like 6 weeks. Other than the price of admission, which I understand was something that they couldn't control at this time.
It was a nice venue too.
Yeah. Oh, we should mention it took place. It was at a hotel.
We thought it was at a duplex.
We did. Well, the GPS led us to a duplex originally.
Sure.
That's a good start. Oh, that's
just in this guy's basement.
Yeah.
You got your $50, kids.
I have been to a Blood Bowl tournament that took place at somebody's house. Actually, I held a Blood Bowl tournament at my house once, too. I've got enough boards to do it, but no. And then it was actually an ale house that was right outside, so it had its. It was kind of like the hotel's kitchen bar, center, yeah. Yeah, like a little banquet hall, which they had an open bar. Not an open bar. God, that would have been amazing if it was an actual open bar.
Yeah,
they had an available bar.
They had an available bar. Yes,
their prices were all right for the most part. Like all right, I guess.
I knew I was driving, so I didn't want to drink anything.
Yeah. There was also enough room between the tables, and there were a lot of large people there, too, where, like, I never went butt-to-butt with anybody. A little depressing, but...
I'm sick of talking about Wapaka.
Let's talk about War Machine.
No.
Nah.
I didn't have a suggestion. I was just sick of talking about Wapaka. I saw Kung Fu Panda 3 yesterday.
Why did you go see that?
I went and visited my dad's widow, and she was like, we should watch Kung Fu Panda 3 because Jack Black reminds me of you. I'm like, all right, I guess. And so we went and saw Kung Fu Panda 3.
Hmm. Was it any good?
It was, I think, my least favorite of the Kung Fu Panda films. But it was okay.
Much like Shrek the Third?
This is the one where he teaches the pandas, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. It was the most blatantly kids movie because the first couple actually are surprisingly decent. They're like...
They're kind of deep.
They're surprisingly good. And this one was very, like, you know, pie-in-the-face, poo humor kid movie, and I felt that most. But it had J.K. Simmons, Academy Award-winning J.K. Simmons, and fucking Bryan Cranston as characters. Like, man, they're pulling the heavy hitters for the voice actors in this one. It's good. It's fun.
With Disney, it's usually all out on the third.
It's not Disney, though.
They're Pixar. And I figured.
It's not Pixar.
It's DreamWorks.
It's DreamWorks. DreamWorks.
They're all interchangeable. And DreamWorks' first film is the first film they released with Fox because they had an exclusive deal with Paramount previously. Mm. It's also the longest wait in between sequels in the DreamWorks thing. After I see movies, I look at the IMDb trivia page. So.
Gotcha.
You know what's really fucked up? Get this, because this is weird. Is Jackie Chan does the voice of Monkey in the Kung Fu Panda films, mm-hmm. right? As you may well know. And... I need to double check because for this movie they mentioned that Jackie Chan does the voice of Monkey, but in the Mandarin release he does a voice as well, but he voices a different character. He voices one of the pandas. So number one, why would you have him voice a different character? And number two, this means that in the previous two films they must not have had him voice Monkey.
Yeah.
And why not? Like, why wouldn't you have the only character that's fluent in both languages play himself in both versions?
Yeah, that's weird.
Weird as hell.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know that he's like the David Hasselhoff of Germany over there. So maybe was the panda character a prominent character?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's why they might have switched it.
But they wouldn't have known. I don't know if it was a switch and like he played Monkey. In the other two, mm-hmm. in Mandarin, then it's just weird that the voice would change for all the kids watching the movies at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'd be used to his voice for Monkey, and then all of a sudden the Monkey voice is this other character now, which would just be weird. So the only other option is if it didn't switch, and this is the first time he's voicing somebody, in which case, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't quite understand the logic on that one.
Weirdness.
Yeah, I just know Jackie Chan's like superstar. Superstar stuff. So, do we have any questions, or are we going to talk about rappers who like to argue with scientists?
That guy's great. The people who think the Earth's flat, like, do they honestly think you can just like look over the edge?
Yeah.
Like, where do they think that edge is?
The thing I've watched.
You got to do that so you can sex the turtle, right?
Yeah.
So you can find out what sex the turtle is. I didn't say sex. I meant sex the turtle, so but I meant that actually
Andy
as
wants to
the actual
the
correct use. No, correct. Sex as a verb. Yeah.
Correct.
You read those books, you just know that reference from other people.
No, not from other people. I have watched the BBC Color of Magic.
Oh, sure.
Which that I hear is actually a very good representation.
It is. Did you like it?
Yeah.
That is my least favorite of the live action Discworld movies. Okay. So if you liked it, the other, like Going Postal, super good. Hogfather, sure. All that. But Going Postal, like, yeah, if you like the Color of Magic one, I think that's universally agreed to be the weakest of the live action.
Really?
So if you liked others are.
That was my intro of that.
Yeah.
So I'll have to either check out or read the other ones.
Going Postal has Charles Dance.
I like Charles Dance.
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched any of the live action ones.
I just killed somebody. Oh, my favorite scene ever in a movie. That movie could have been fucking amazing. And if you don't know what movie I'm talking about Last Action Hero.
That movie, yeah.
If that movie was a Jack Slater film.
It's okay, but it could have been amazing.
Yeah, if it was just a flat Jack Slater film, it took out everything about the kid and the theater and the jumping, where they just made a movie about Arnold Schwarzenegger in this over-the-top cartoony action flick, would have been.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you still need the Watson. I think you need the straight man.
It would have been a hard sell. I think it was otherwise.
Handled kind of sloppily. Like, and it's weird that, like, this kid, like, what's with the creepy guy in the theater? And, like, it's all weirdly done.
Okay.
But it could have been handled better. But I think you still need someone from the real world to be the fish out of water, so that then when you switch it and have him be the fish out of water in our world, it's a juxtaposition.
I agree with that. And then even then, the quote I'm giving is from when he's in the real world.
Yeah. It's just, if you don't have the fish out of the water in his world first, then it's just like all of a sudden he's in our world and there's weird.
The interaction is weird. I just hated the kid element in that movie. It's just so fucking horrible.
It was badly done.
It was. No, I've watched a couple of the like conspiracy theorist videos of like these people who try to break it down scientifically, how the world is flat. And it really just sounds like they got done sucking on the tailpipe of a Chevy and decided to talk about 1600 science.
Well, so, you know what someone else pointed out to me about that whole thing with Neil deGrasse Tyson and then that rapper or whatever his name is, YOLO or
Bob.
Bob. His name's fucking Bob. Christ. But they said, well, here's the thing is like, he sure got a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what he's nobody. Said. He probably isn't a flat earther. He's like, hey, if I get in a Twitter fight with Neil deGrasse Tyson, people will know who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I said on our way up to Walk Back. I was like, you know how many people have heard about him beforehand?
Nobody.
Nobody. You know who heard about him now? Everyone. So we should get into a fight with Neil deGrasse Tyson. What topic should we come up with to start a Twitter war with him?
How gravity isn't a proven theory. Or no, how gravity isn't a fact, because right now it's still just a theory.
So just a basic disunderstanding of what the word theory means?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Pretty sure he did a gravity special already.
God damn it. Let's just get Snoop Dogg to talk to him about the planet Earth.
What?
We have
why would Snoop Dogg?
There's like a petition out there.
Plazanet
Earth.
Yeah.
Just take the BBC series Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And just replace the David Attenborough or whoever it is with Snoop Dogg.
Yes, I think there's a petition out there now for it.
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
I signed it.
Might as well.
I saw it was a thing like 2 weeks ago on everybody's Facebook wall, and I just refused to click on it.
It was just a social function thing, you know, where people were just like, wouldn't it be cool if this, and then it spread like herpes, just like Minions. I'm fine that those are mostly gone for the most part.
Oh, I'm going to post so many on your wall now when I get home.
That's all right. I gave the...
I was thinking Minions as in War Machine. Horde's Minions.
No,
I'm like, how are they really... Would somebody putting like Rorschach and Brian on your wall?
That could be the new thing. Just like middle-aged women putting a picture of Rorschach and Brian on their wall with an inspirational phrase. I hate Mondays! It's just a gator disemboweling a trollkin.
Nice. That's an interesting thing now that you talk about it. Like maybe someone from Privateer Press will listen to this and make it a thing. But like there's all the adult coloring books that are coming out, not like adult, like you paint boobies or do.
I'm sure those exist too.
They probably do, but there's like the coloring books that are more supposed to be meditative or whatever. But like why the Privateer Press could maybe go down that road too and make the chibi coloring book.
I had a Law and Order coloring book.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting.
Was it a lot of connect the dots?
No, it's a coloring book. It wasn't a connect the dots book.
I want activity books. No, it's that's just what I want.
Activity
I want
books
it,
are pretty.
Yeah. Like basically like, draw the chalk outline. It's just the dots in a circle, so you have to connect the dots to make the chalk outline. Yeah.
Shame about that dog.
It's like Highlights magazine for adults.
Wait, Highlights Magazine isn't for adults?
It is if you're in the doctor's office.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. I do all the activities so the six-year-olds can go fuck themselves.
I hate it when I get there and I see the book and it's already got the fucking differences circled. I'm like, God damn it, that's not the point. Fuck.
Just do six differences with two different pictures in the book. Just fine.
I think that would be cheating. Maybe if you find like 34 differences, it might be a game then.
Depends on the pictures.
Yeah, I guess so. And if you're looking at a National Geographic instead of a Highlights magazine.
Like, are you comparing a National Geographic to a Highlights magazine? Yeah. Like, you just take a picture out of each?
Yeah, and then just circle both of them. Because I have never seen a Highlights magazine that has a picture of naked Zimbabwe women.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I see this term come up. I looked it up once before. I'm too lazy to look it up now. What does ARG mean? For, like, a game? For...
ARG?
Yeah, augmented reality game. I think that's
what it is. Yeah.
That's what it is. I just had somebody ask me what I thought about this. There's going to be a Sentinels ARG, I guess, for multiverse.
Oh, yeah, Villains of the Multiverse, right? Is that...
No. It's going to be like some other thing. It's an augmented reality game.
Yeah, that was the only thing I could think of. I was actually wondering if anybody picked it up yet.
I own it.
It looks kind of cool.
I own it. You're supposed to cut apart my...
Yeah, his mat is in my car. I need to cut it apart at work tomorrow.
Ooh.
And by tomorrow, I mean day after, because I have tomorrow off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one new expansion coming out for Sentinels, too, which is Oblivion, which is their last expansion. It's the end of the multiverse.
What?
That game felt like it was going to go on forever.
Like, each time you play it, it feels like that?
No, just like the expansions. I felt like... I'm really hoping Smash Up doesn't give up anytime soon, but I guess with the stinker that is the Munchkin Smash Up, they probably will die out soon, and I'll never fill up the bigger geeker box or whatever. Geekier box.
Hmm.
When I got that thing, it was like I think it's three rows that you can fill up all the Smash Up cards with, and I was just like, oh man, this is so great for the future, but I think it was just a ruse.
Just to get your hopes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Smash Up's a fun game.
I really do like it. It's just like when they put out the Munchkin one, I was really like, I had some cognitive dissonance going on where like I really wanted it because it was a Smash Up expansion, but I didn't want to go anywhere near it because it had something to do with Munchkin.
Munchkin's so fucking terrible.
It is, and it's now I feel like I have to research the Munchkin stuff a little bit more so I get the inside jokes of the cards.
Don't do that.
I know it's... Don't. I might go down that rabbit hole.
We should do Zappity Grumble now because he's circling the rabbit hole right now. He's teasing it with his tongue.
He is. And that's it's gonna black out.
And I won't remember it.
Good.
So what's our? Are you on the Facebook?
I'm on. Here. Well, anyway, somebody's asking.
No, shit.
I'm on here. Well, anyway,
whatever.
This thing I'm looking at, I'm there.
Can't deny that.
Any of you hey, there you are.
Remember, no matter where you go, there you are. Pig Killer said that.
Yep, quoting Buddha.
Any of you excited for the new Venture Brothers tonight?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Why not?
I love the first two seasons of Venture Brothers, but when it takes you a decade to release 2.5 more random seasons, I stopped caring about Venture Brothers. I never disliked any... I've always enjoyed every episode of Venture Brothers I've ever seen, and I love the first two seasons, and I own the first two seasons. I just don't care anymore.
I've moved on.
I've just moved on. It was too inconsistent of release schedule, just too long. I just don't give a shit anymore.
I'm at least intrigued with it to at least see it and see how it goes.
The show never really stuck to my ribs in the first place, so it's neat that they're bringing it back, but it sounds like it's not so much a comeback as somebody just taking forever to do something.
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, technically, they still claim that it's a consistent show, but it's like one season every 2.5 to 3.5 years. Yeah.
They are inconsistent in that regard. They are extremely inconsistent. All right, Zabini.
Grumble.
Have you played any dexterity board games, like Flick 'em Up? Thoughts on the subgenre?
No. I feel like Space Commander is a little bit of a dexterity game, and that one I really like.
Space Commander?
Space Cadet, maybe? The the one where you like every person has a part of the system, and like one of that is like you get a certain puzzle and you have to solve it in your turn, or else that system like gets fucked up.
Yeah, but that's still not this. This is more like there's games that are actually like a board game that involves playing Tiddlywinks, where you need to like aim chits and stuff. Like we played the Mars Attacks 5-minute takedown one.
That's where I'm saying like, it's a little bit like that.
And I've played a lot of balanced ones like Bombolio and stuff like that. But
played a game, car racing game, where you had to flick cars around the track. I think that's Formula One or Formula Day.
Yeah, Formula Day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not day as in D-A-Y, D-E.
Yep.
But I played that and that was fun. I mean, those are decent. I feel like those games are really more a filler game in between other games.
The flip side, though, is like for some reason Board Game Geek has a big hard-on for Lupin Louie. And now there's the Star Wars tie-in Lupin Chewie with Chewbacca. But it's Lupin Louie's like a game where there's like a motor that's got an arm going around. And on the end of the arm is a biplane pilot. And it swoops down and tries to like knock your pieces off. And so you have to hit a lever to knock him back up so he doesn't like knock your pieces off.
Okay.
And Board Game Geek, like they're in love with that thing. Like I think it started as a joke, but now they literally have Lupin Louie tournaments at their convention.
Yikes.
I just was looking for it because I couldn't remember it for the life of me. But when I was in school in La Crosse, one of my professors actually designed a board game, and it's called Flip 5. And that was really fun to play while we were there. It was kind of like a small, like zoomed-in version of shuffleboard, but there were like little, like there was a divider in the middle, and you had to not only get your piece through those things, but you also had to try and get it through a goal, and then there were like little pegs that you could bounce it off of. That was really fun. I know it's out there and available for purchase, but if you can find it, I'd definitely at least give it a try and look at it. But it is a really neat dexterity game.
I remember playing a game that had like a dice that would go down like tiers or so, and you would kind of flick a die off, and then where the die would land on the tier and what face it was up, that would be the points of what it was. I can't remember the name of it either.
Fuck. I should know that one. And I just remembered Crokinole, which is a really big one. That's almost like the table hockey style one.
The game that just came out, Rampage.
Oh, sure.
The dinosaur.
Excuse you. You mean Trouble in Meeple City?
No, it's Rampage.
If you can find a copy that's still called Rampage.
Yeah. But yeah, well, it might be Rampage outside the U.S.
I think the cease and desist, I don't know. But I know it was Rampage originally, and then they had to change all the copies' names.
I did avoid that game like the plague when I first saw it, because to me, it just like, oh, it looks stupid. And then I actually played it, and when I played it, it was oddly fun. It had a lot more strategy involved to it.
Yeah. Zappity?
Happening. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. The dexterity question.
I'm just trying to remember the name of the dice falling down the fucking tiers because, oh, it's going to kill me.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
I only played that once. Zamity, grumble. If the IK had a Pro Bowl, who would the Warlocks caster face off, and what would their armies be made of?
A Pro Bowl? Like football?
That's too much.
So yeah, he's asking who the best in each category is?
Best for each caster, yeah. Or best for each faction. Or maybe if we're thinking of like Hordes or War Machine, like who would be the ones to represent the Hordes side of it, and who would be the ones who would represent the War Machine side of it?
I'm not going to answer that because it's too complicated and dumb, but it makes me think of a different question that would be an interesting thought experiment. So let's say like in a vacuum, you had let's take Crix as an example, and you had a vote who the best caster in Crix is. And then you vote who the best unit in Crix is. And you go down the list and you built an army just from the best in each category. I wonder if that army would work.
I think you'd find that
like the best caster might not work best with the quote-unquote best unit and so on.
I think there's synergy. What you're going to find in that one is you're going to see there are a lot that do fall because of that reason. And then you're going to see your butchers, like the super solo casters, kind of lead the front, because Butcher, you can put basically anything with Butcher 3 and it'll work. I mean, like, you could put Kossite Woodsman in there just because they could jam for a turn. Like, I think that's what you'd end up coming together with. If you came up with something that was different than that was taking the top spots, I think that'd be really interesting. Maybe that could be a future league thing.
Or even just a discussion for a different podcast.
That'd be fun.
I don't understand the question anyway.
Because when you look at, there's only, 15 casters in each army-ish?
I don't know, probably.
It depends. All Horde's casters are 14.
Okay. So you wouldn't be able, a football team is pretty close to that number. 11.
Well, I don't know what he's looking for.
Casters and take them out, right?
I don't know what he's looking for.
Or if he's
are we making a list of the best of things, and are we going cross factions, like the best Crix caster is going to have the best Signar unit.
Pro Bowl is like from all teams.
That's my point. So you're not making a faction. Is it like the best of War Machine against the best of Hordes?
I think that's what he's going for. Yeah. Like the best quote unquote Hordes caster with the best Hordes unit out of all the Hordes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if the best, let's go to War Machine again. If the best caster in War Machine is, let's say Gatsby 2 for the heck of it, and the best unit is Gun Mages, Gatsby 2 does nothing for Gun Mages. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
you
get this
weird thing. He puts a cloud in front of them so they don't die from shooting.
He can put the cloud behind the things, and then they can thunderbolt it into the clouds.
Okay, God, he's so good. He even works with Gun Mages.
Zavity.
Grumble.
If you could redesign your faction's battle engine, what would it be? Some of these are just, these are not lightning
rods. They're longer things.
Yeah. No, I'm fine.
Unless you want to talk about redesigning.
Well, mine's easy because my two factions have the best battle engines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really like it if there
was Minions and Convergence are like, we're good, thanks.
I'd really like it if there were some different things done with the battle wagon. It does a lot, but I just think it's clunky. The troll battle wagon. The Wraith engine is just garbage for me, and I just don't think it's that great.
You should talk to Jeff. Jeff gets some really good use out of that battle wagon.
Yeah, I just like never really unlocked it on the table, I think.
Sure.
Dozer and Smigs makes it shoot accurately. It's true. You got your circle thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, with the fulcrum, like.
Fuck. Have you ever used it?
I've used it. Like, I own two of them. I've used it, like, a couple times. It's not like.
Did you win those games?
Not really.
Probably.
No. Probably. With a double teleport.
Double teleport, yeah, I would have won.
Celestial Fulcrum, Celestial Fulcrum, Stone Stalker. That's how you win.
Because my experience with the Fulcrum, talking to people who are good at the game,
is
they say that they want to hate it, and they were fielding it just to prove that it was bad, but it kept winning games for them, and it was frustrating.
Well, either like it does really good for you, or it just does nothing. Like... There is no in between. Either you hate that battle engine, or like I see a lot of Kruger 2 lists that run it because they protect it.
Yeah.
Like if the theory is if it stays alive long enough to gain the fury and boost the attack and damage rolls, like it does work. But does it do the work that, say, for the same points, a unit of blood trackers with weapon master javelins does?
Yes. No. Maybe.
I'll tell you what. You know what never performs when I'm at that table? Blood trackers.
Yeah.
Every single time I've had them used against me, or I've played with them. Shite.
So I run them with Morv too now. Fixes everything.
Never mind. I was going to get into why I think equating points to points in other things is a trap of War Machine. Like with the thing where you're like, is this Celestial Fulcrum worth a Stalker? Of course it's not. I mean, like that's a bad.
That's a
bad
Stalker problem, not a Celestial Fulcrum problem.
That's a Stalker problem.
Are we done?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. That's way too much War Machine talk for me.
Guild Ball.
He's done.
Yep. Who is the White Knife of War Machine?
Who's the White Knight of War Machine?
White Knife of War Machine. The knife? There are only two of us that know who that is.
God, fuck. Fuck.
Is that a person?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's... I don't know who would I want to insult
by equating
them with it. I'll just say it's Keith. Fuck him.
He's the Adam Sandler.
Keith is the Adam Sandler pretending to be a ninja Native American of War Machine.
Ah, this is a ridiculous sixth thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fucking bad.
It was really bad. Zavity. I just let you bury somebody on the bus. I didn't do any crumble.
You didn't disagree.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Is Nathan considering getting a beard weave to thicken his beard?
You have to have enough to weave. Oh, no, like the hair weave extension. Yeah, I could do that.
You could get a track put in your beard.
Get what?
A track.
What's a track?
Well, a track is like a, it's almost like a plasticky acrylic thing that they glue basically to your skin, I think. I'm pretty sure this is how this works. And then the track is like, it's a line of hairs that are woven onto a nylon strip that you can slide into your track. So like,
why wouldn't I just get it a weave?
I think a track is a less expensive version of a weave. Or maybe it's the other way around.
So, like, you're surgically implanting a rack into my throat so I can hang chunks of hair from it?
It's surgical. It's glued. Just,
oh, boy.
Oh, that's why when people get in fights, they're always like, bitch pulled out my track.
I've never heard bitch pulled out my track.
You just need to hang around in more urban areas. Only heard of
weaves.
So...
And next maybe time you a weave see, is a track.
No, a weave is woven. They take a hair extension and they weave your real hair into the extension.
Yeah, a track is different.
Yeah. So next time you see Nathan, pull on his beard to see if he has a track or a weave.
If it looks shitty, don't pull on it because I do not have a track or a weave. That's my natural face.
Yeah.
And I apologize for it.
As you should. Zevity.
Grumble.
All right,
I don't feel bad for throwing Keith under the bus because his wife came and watched that shitty movie with us, and he didn't.
Yeah, what a jerk.
And did you hear what happened to her and Marshall?
Oh, yeah, they had to watch Mulholland Drive.
They didn't have to because I warned them that Mulholland Drive is a pile of shit, and David Lynch is an incompetent piece of garbage, and people who like his movies are just fucking liars.
Like, did Keith make them settle up to it?
No. They decided they were going to troll me because they were going to pretend to like it.
And they couldn't.
But they wanted to do their research, so they decided they needed to watch the movie so that they could talk intelligently about it in case I quiz them. And it's fucking garbage, because of course it is. And so they suffered through that pile of horse feces. But Keith dodged that one, too.
The funny thing is Jake likes the movie. But he hasn't seen it recently, so he's not sure if he likes it just to be ironic liking it, or if he actually does like it.
No, I think he just... Oh, David Lynch is so bad. Yep. Like, the only people who like David Lynch are idiots, David Lynch, and people trying to suck up to their film professors in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, Zavity.
Rumble.
All right, which is better, Trading Places or Brewster's Millions?
Isn't Trading Places the one with Dan Aykroyd? And,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
I like that movie.
Yeah. But I'll say... Brewster's Millions is an underappreciated masterpiece.
Is that with fucking Richard love Pryor? Brewster.
Yeah, that's the Richard Pryor one. It's actually a remake of, I don't remember who's in the original. It might be like Cary Grant or somebody because it's from the 50s.
Sure.
But Brewster's Millions, have either of you even seen Brewster's
Millions? I haven't seen Brewster's Millions.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Brewster's Millions is going to lose this argument with most people just because most people have everyone has seen Trading Places, but most people haven't seen Brewster's Millions, and you need to see it because it's Richard Pryor and John Candy. And it's fucking magical.
If it's got John Candy in it, I need to see it.
Yeah, because the whole premise is that Richard Pryor inherits like $10 million from an uncle he never knew he had in the whole, you know, uncle dies, whatever. But he leaves a stipulation in his will that he can keep the 10, or if at the end of a month he is flat, destitute, broke, not a penny to his name, including no property, just nothing, like a hobo naked broke, he gets like $250 million.
Okay.
So the whole thing is that he has to waste all this money as fast as he can, but he's not allowed to tell anybody, and the whole movie's just wacky hijinks, and it's great.
Now I'll check it out. It might be on my list for the very near future.
That said, Trading Places, it's probably still funnier, but Brewster's Millions, I'm tempted to say it just to encourage people to watch it.
No,
but it's a close race.
There's one more.
Yeah, it appears there's one more question here. Feel lazy, so what are your thoughts on fans' ideas taking priority over what is canon, i.e. Black Hermione Granger?
Like fanfic?
You're acting confused.
Yeah, fan fiction.
But that's not even necessarily fan fiction.
That's just in a play, isn't it? Like they got a Black Hermione.
Well, except that is official now.
It's not.
Yes, what? It is.
How is that official?
Because, so the play cast a black actress to be Hermione Granger, sure. And then J.K. Rowling's like, I don't get what anybody's upset about. I never said she was white. Go read all my descriptions. I talk about her being dark complexion, having curly hair, and stuff like
there
that.
There is one. Like, I've seen it where it talks about like her pale face.
Now you're just, find it. Are you speaking Pidgin English, you racist?
No.
You calling her a pale face?
Maybe.
Cherokee people.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I don't...
No, I mean, I think that's the same thing. Like, people reacted crazy when there was a black stormtrooper for one reason or another. And then what's the other one? There's some other movie that's coming out with another African dude. Everybody.
Well, they flipped out over the Fantastic Four. When in reality, they should be worried about the fact that the movie was terrible.
Yeah.
You put your phone away. I thought you were trying to prove yourself right. Yeah, you gave up because you're wrong.
Whatever.
Because it's the flip side. The real thing that you should be looking up is what's her face? You know, the one that dates Ron. Who's the one that dates Ron?
The Chinese lady?
No, that's Cho Chang, who dates Harry.
It was one of the twins.
I am out of my element here.
No, but it's
not the Weasley twins, but like one of the twin sisters.
But the point is, fuck, somebody in chat remind me what her name is. It's like Violet or something else like that. But she, in the books, she's black.
Yeah.
And in the first like four movies, she's black. And in the fifth movie, when she's an important character and dates Ron and has lines, they recast her with a white chick.
Well, they did that in the seventh one with one of Malfoy's like henchmen. Like, was it Goyle?
Or Crab? Crab and Goyle?
Yeah.
What, they recast him?
Yeah, in the seventh movie, he was black because the actor got arrested.
I didn't notice that. Yeah. I just thought that was a random different henchman.
No, that's just the...
I thought it was just kids going through puberty.
He's changed color.
Changed color.
It's magic.
No, he ate one of those Pokemon.
He ate one of those. He ate one of those black Hardee's burgers.
Oh yeah,
that just turns your poop black. No, actually, it turns it green.
It turns it green. Yeah. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. I just like. If they break canon by casting someone of a different race or sex, I think it's more interesting that way. I mean, it just straight up shouldn't matter.
Like, I can get people's, like, they just want to, like, they can do whatever they want with it. I see some people get mad because they're like, they feel like they're casting a black Hermione just to say they have a black Hermione.
But that's part of the problem,
though. Or the actress just was really good in the, you know, like...
Like, and that's the thing, like, they're saying, like... That maybe like she wasn't like the best person for
they're
it, but they just want
affirmative action to move.
Yeah, they're like, we need to have a black person.
Speaking of horrible racists, my love of a great metal band has been forever tarnished.
By Lavender Brown. I knew it was a color.
Yeah.
I knew it was a color. It wasn't violet. It was lavender. Go
on. So any of you guys familiar with Pantera?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Who's that?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, is that one of the Thundercats?
Panthro.
Why the fuck do I know this? Look, Panthro is awesome. Come
Panthro
on now.
Was the best Panthro one. Was pretty awesome.
Snarf, snarf.
Yeah,
the fact that I do a good snarf impression,
you
by
do,
the way.
You I do. I almost thought it was your real voice.
I almost punched you.
Raylene and I might do snarf roleplay sometimes.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, God.
Snarf me harder. You like it? Snarf.
Do you
with take Corey, the whole show? Snarf.
Do you one of these things where like when you're semi erect, where like you can flex a little bit and your penis goes up? You say, "I have the power," and then just like flex it real hard,
that's,
and then you fart. And
that's
then your dick's
harder.
Snarf doesn't have that.
God damn it!
I have heard.
You should have
by
an
the
Orko
way,
in Snarf. Snarf get together.
I heard a thing that so if your significant other is male and is a heavy sleeper, you should make sure that they always do that before you have sex with them, because sometimes they're actually like sleepwalking and not fully awake and you're raping them. But making your dick bounce like that is a conscious thing that you can't do while you're asleep.
Yeah.
And so it's an easy way to check to make sure he's not sleep fucking.
I wonder how many times I've been raped in my sleep.
I don't remember if that was Savage Love or not, but I read it somewhere where some lady was concerned because one time her boyfriend like woke up and complained that she had raped him because he was sleepwalking.
That's strange. It was very strange.
Yeah.
I still think the penis getting bigger is pretty legit, though. The
Pantera?
So,
yeah, Pantera. Yeah, back to that.
Which is the Spider-Man, though.
Oh,
so, you know, the tragic thing that happened with Pantera, they broke up, and then one of the brothers, the Abbott brothers, went and formed their own band, Newfound Power or something like that, and he was shot on stage, killed. And so as there was a tribute show that happened fairly recently to him, and wonderful Phil Anselmo decided to end the concert with him giving the Nazi salute and then yelling out white power. And then somebody called him out on it, And he said, no, well, we were having white wine in the backstage. So it was like a whole big thing about white wine. And then everybody else in the world's like, what the fuck are you talking about, you racist son of a bitch? So forever now, I mean, Pantera used to be one of my favorite fucking bands of all time. And I cannot associate myself at all or even think of me listening to his music anymore. Because there's always been rumblings and such. You see him like mouthing white power as they're doing songs and that.
Or they had Confederate flags plastered over everything.
Like, that's more of a Southern thing.
No, it's a Southern thing, correct. But it's kind of become worked into this whole like white supremacist way of thinking. And I think that's like, maybe I'm going off on a different tangent, but this idea of people like saying, I can fly the Confederate flag for whatever reason, blah, blah, blah.
Sure,
I think it's fucking stupid.
You can fly. Sure. Yeah, I can also call you a racist. No,
that's the thing, is they're like saying that I'm not racist because of this flag, because of whatever, because they might think it looks like the way it looks in their truck. But like, that's just straight up misinformation on their
part. So what was your opinion on Lemmy's fashion taste?
I mean, I think that's just like part of the... Maybe that was just part of the metal thing, was just like you have the
wear an look, SS uniform.
Basically, yeah. I mean, maybe it was shitty for him too, but wasn't he English anyways?
Yeah, he just thought that the Nazi uniforms were really stylish, so he just wore them.
That kind of thing's different overseas though, isn't it? Like that, the whole dress of like...
I think England doesn't like the Nazis very much either.
No, it was good.
Maybe with the being bombed.
At any rate, I think it's stupid to sit there and say that the Confederate flag's not racist.
The truly sad part about it though is, I mean, it was for Dimebag Darrell, this whole concert.
And then it turned into a shit show.
And for Lemmy, and yeah, it was a really good show. Mm-hmm. He was trying to say it was a joke and all that. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Some people are stupid.
Yeah. I love white wine, white power.
Yeah. White wine, white power.
Yep. Fuck Phil and Samuel.
Fueled by white wine.
Yeah, but I don't know. The songs are still good. I don't know. But it can be tough sometimes to differentiate those things. Like, mm-hmm. I won't watch Roman Polanski films, even though, you know, Chinatown and Rosemary's Baby, they're great movies. But, you know, he drugs and rapes children. So yeah. I'd rather just not watch his movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And fuck other countries who think that's fine.
Fuck Whoopi Goldberg. She was on The View. They were talking about him because this was when they were going to expedite him because he wandered off into like Switzerland and gotcha now.
Yep.
And then they ended up letting him go because, you know, why would you bring somebody who, again, drugs and anally rapes underage girls? But Whoopi Goldberg was like, well, you know, that's the thing. It's like things are different in Europe and blah, blah, blah. Like, and it's like, you ignorant whore. Like, it's one thing if he had just fucked a 15-year-old, like, consensually.
Correct.
Like, you
correct.
Know,
like,
and then you're like, oh, well, it's different, you know, in Europe, like, 15's the age of consent, that's fine. He didn't. He drugged a girl to unconsciousness and then anally raped her while she was unconscious. Mm-hmm. That's not some shady, different countries do it differently thing.
Who did it first? Cosby or Polanski?
Polanski.
Are you sure? I think Cosby was supposedly doing it in the early 70s.
I think that's when Polanski did it too.
I thought that was
plus
more.
Plus, Cosby wasn't doing it to like fucking 12-year-olds.
That's also true too.
Also
he was doing it to older adults.
And I don't know, not that it really enters into whether or not it's good or bad, but I also think it was sodomy as
it's
well.
It's the difference between tragedy and some shit stuff that somebody does.
I was talking here. Let's now that you brought it up, and I thought this would be. In my head, this seemed like a terrible question because I felt like I was alone in my opinion on this. But I've talked to a couple people about it, and they both kind of agreed with me, is not to downplay either of these things as a tragedy, but which is a more terrible thing?
It sounds like it's right up our podcast.
This is about to be terrible, but I think it's also kind of interesting. Who's the bigger victim?
Okay.
The women that Cosby did this terrible thing to, or all of society for having everything that Cosby had ever brought to us taken away? The Cosby Show, gone. All of his stand-up bits, like the Noah's Ark things and all that stuff, gone. Fat Albert, gone. It's all fucking destroyed. So which is the bigger tragedy? 20 or 30 women getting raped, or all of society losing everything he'd given to us?
That depends on how much you, like, factor in Bill Cosby. Like, is he a huge part of your life? Like,
is losing Fat Albert.
Isn't he a huge part of all of our lives, is my point, though?
He's a huge part of my childhood.
The Cosby Show was just, like, everybody watched the fucking Cosby Show, you know? And Fat Albert. And
watched Fat Albert all the time. I remember, you know, the Brown Hornet.
Listened to all of his stand-up, like the freaking...
Chocolate Cake.
Chocolate Cake, the Tonto... Dad's Great, Give Us the Chocolate Cake, yeah, and the Tonto and Lone Ranger stuff, and again, the Noah bit, and...
Dad playing goalie in the
while Mom's beating the kids in the living room.
Like, which that's a different time as well, but...
Melted butter.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody leaving, like, a billimeter of water at the bottom of the water bottle, and they'd all die of thirst because nobody wanted to technically finish the water bottle and have to be the one to fill it back up. Like, that's all gone.
It is... I don't know. I think you can still enjoy that stuff and just kind of separate yourself from the things that he did. Because as an actor, you think that that's like just a part that exists separately from them.
We lost Leonard Part 6. And Ghost Dad.
Yeah. We could lose Ghost Dad.
That's okay. On a side note, though, I can still watch Mel Gibson films.
Yeah, but he just went crazy and called a lady sugar tits and said he hated the Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
It's different seeing
somebody. He didn't rape anybody.
That's just his opinion.
True.
Yeah, he destroyed himself, really, and he said some things that will wash over.
And I guess he's also admitted to it as well.
Yeah. And a self-meltdown's different, you know? It's kind of like Britney Spears shaving her head and attacking people with an umbrella, and then, you know, now she's released new albums and
Hasselhoff whatever. Came back in Kung Fury.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, he did.
For being drunk on the floor eating a cheeseburger. God, that video is the best, still watching him drunkenly try to eat a cheeseburger. It's like he's sad. Trying to pick off like onions and tomatoes.
It is terrible.
It's fucking amazing.
So yeah, I think like if you're thinking from an aspect of there's some weird things that come into that because you're thinking from an aspect of the greater good belongs to the society, but is the good some sketches and shows that a guy made.
Right. More people lost cultural stuff, but a fewer number of people had a more horrific thing done to them.
Correct. Yeah, that's going to scar them for life.
Exactly.
That whereas yours, it's like, oh, now my childhood, like, this show isn't a happy feeling anymore.
Me losing the Cosby Show isn't as bad as a person being raped. I would not argue that.
Yeah, correct.
So then if a million, if 300 million people, all of America losing it, is that worse than one person? Is it worse than two? Is it worse than 10? Like, what's the
price value of a rape?
What's the exchange rate of a cultural hit versus...
I think there's a Google app for that.
Oh, yeah, they do, like, break down currency rates.
Currency exchange.
What is the value of one rape?
You will probably, depressingly enough, get an answer to that.
Yeah. That's why I'm not looking.
Are you going to Google that?
No, I'm not. No.
All right, we should probably move on.
Yeah, it's bad enough we're already getting
struck. All right, let's go into recommendations.
Sure.
And then we'll call it, because we only have, like, less than 20 minutes.
Works.
But my recommendation is that you should go and check out the Crippled Systems Movie Pain Train website and our recent reveal that we just put up for The Ridiculous Six. I put a lot of damn time and effort into it, and I'm curious to know what people think of it.
You put a lot of effort into fixing a problem that would have taken a microsecond to have not made.
Oh, yeah. By me pressing a button, yes.
Pressing a button, you could have saved yourself a lot of effort.
Yeah. I caused myself like a good like 5-6 hours of work cutting 15-second clips of stuffed animals talking into a microphone. I think you guys didn't watch the whole thing because you guys started talking. But I think I did really well with it.
It looked well
because I made a lot of good quick cuts to try to make it in there. I had like different head bobs, and I'm pleased with it. So much so,
from now on, we just won't even record it live. We'll do puppet shows every time.
I think we should get puppets. I honestly think we should get puppets. I think movie pain training with puppets would be awesome.
Like puppets of yourselves or just random puppets.
Maybe puppets of ourselves, because I would like to see what somebody would make out of Nathan.
And you. I want to see you as a puppet.
And me.
If any of our listeners are professional puppet makers, get on that.
We have folks around the area that we could easily do that. But I think that could be a potential thing. Like, basically, we'd have to learn how to puppeteer as well. Or...
You think I don't know how to?
I think we could.
How do... Yeah. But again, that's part of my sexy times.
Yeah, we would have to be talking underneath the table or something like that with, you know... I think we could do it. I think it would be awesome. I think that would be our angle into this instead of just doing this for this.
Andy doesn't want to be seen ever.
Yeah. Pretty soon I want to get off the podcast and I'll just produce it.
Finally.
So much so much so that I ended up being the face of the tournament. You just got the dice.
Well, I'm the one who was running it.
If you consider sitting at a laptop all day running it.
That's exactly what he considers running a tournament. Have you never been to one of Andy's tournaments? Was he playing Blood Bowl?
No, I was editing that movie Paint Train.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
Got the attention of one Adam Loper.
Yep.
From Tabletop Minions.
Ooh, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. He came over talking to us. Hi, Adam. If you're more like into the wide world of wargaming, he's kind of like a catch-all for a lot of the wargaming videos out there. I've been watching him for a really long time, so I didn't say anything to him because I didn't want to sound like a freaky fangirl. But yeah, he's a legit guy. He's got a decent YouTube channel.
Yep. So yeah, go check out Movie Pain Train, The Ridiculous Six. Let us know what you think. I really want to know what other people think of that. If it is something that we should actually pursue as doing it with puppets.
I don't want to do it with puppets.
You don't? Oh, you don't want to do it with puppets, yeah. But I want to do it with puppets.
What if you got one of those really lifelike ones? Hey, I won't knock
it. You can do it with puppets.
We could film it with puppets.
Lars and the Real Girl is a great movie.
Yeah.
Somebody...
Cherry 2000.
I could have sworn that I saw somebody recently post some celebrity was talking about their favorite sex scene ever in a movie was in Team America.
Yeah. It's great.
But anyway, so yeah. Movie Pain Train. Also, give us an idea of what movie we should watch next. I think our next, we have two that are going to be in the bucket for sure. One is Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to be watching that. And the other one is Space Cop, because that's coming on. That's on its way.
There is another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming out.
Yes, there is.
I saw a trailer for that in front of Kung Fu Panda.
We didn't watch. Well, the trailer looks awesome, though. It does. Tell me Bebop and Rocksteady don't look fucking amazing in that film.
Here's the thing I've been wondering, because I've been hearing people say that.
Yeah.
Specifically, Bebop and Rocksteady. Those three words. I recall Rocksteady and Bebop. Since when does Bebop get top billing?
I think it's only because his name is alphabetically first.
Yeah, but as a kid, I remember referring to them as a group as Rocksteady and Bebop. I remember that being the term. People called them Rocksteady and Bebop.
I should Google that. Which came first?
Do the Google fight. No, the Google fight where the results come up. Do Rocksteady and Bebop in quotes and Bebop and Rocksteady in quotes and see which gets more hits. But
for me, I don't know. Maybe it was Rocksteady and Bebop when I was younger. I was too young to really like make that distinction so much. But that is like the thing about this movie. Like I think I'd said it before. Rocksteady and Bebop, and then the pizza shooter turtle van. Like that shit just gets my dick hard. I think now that I've said it, I think Rocksteady and Bebop is the right way to say it.
It sounds more right.
Yeah, because I say Bebop and Rocksteady, and it's like, yeah, that's cool. But then Rocksteady and Bebop, that actually sounds like that's the way it should be. I mean, other than that, the movie looks pretty decent. If we Pain Trained it, I'd be into it. I'd be down.
All right.
What do you got for results?
I did it, and it doesn't really say results.
Oh. You didn't do the Google. You have to actually go to googlefight.com.
Oh, Google Fight. Okay, all right.
God damn it.
Oh, but what the hell?
That's a champion trophy.
This has I don't know if maybe it's... Because again, if it's a current thing versus an old thing, but this is having Bebop and Rocksteady having a massive advantage over Rocksteady and Bebop.
Yeah, that is not what I would have expected. When I say Rocksteady and Bebop, it sounds like it rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah. It's weird to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to check to see if it's different on a different device.
Okay, you can do that. But I did it with quotes around it to make sure it did the thing. Ethan, did you have a recommendation?
Nah. Yeah. Brian might disagree, because we were just talking about it Friday. Like, I rewatched Serenity and a couple episodes of Firefly.
Yeah.
Just because it's so good. I know Brian's not a huge fan. Or you just feel like show don't
know. After he watched Serenity, he became I understood Serenity solidified it.
Yeah, I understood their plight. After watching Serenity, it filled in a lot of the gaps and made things move a little quicker. I felt like they jerked around too much in the actual series.
That was like,
it was the character development, and I mean, it got the Josh Whedon effect of not getting a second season.
I just think that, like, trying to hobble on the crutch of character development would be nice if they actually developed into something instead of these halfway people. Like, when was I actually going to know why the priest knew the things he knew about the Alliance or the Shepherd?
Season two, probably.
Yeah. Like, but like, that could have been groundwork. Yeah, but that groundwork was like, I don't even think Rome spent that much time laying down their indoor plumbing.
But here's the thing, though. If they had revealed it, then, and they did get renewed for season two, like, what were they going to do in season two then? If they had, if
Supernatural seems to be doing all right with season 11.
Yeah.
I get sick of Supernatural's resets every year. Like, I like to have.
This one's kind of.
It's just every season's a new, bigger, badder guy.
And I had a good conversation with Raylene about this with Blacklist, because she got sick of Blacklist, not, you know, they keep dangling the same shit in front of your eyes for every season. It's like, okay, we're sick of it. But if they resolve it all and then they get a new season, they have to start new stuff all over. And I get sick of Supernatural doing that every year like clockwork.
I guess the formula works for me, so I don't mind the repetition, but I'm a person who prefers repetition in my life.
I didn't like the newest parts of Blacklist anyway either.
I haven't watched the previous season.
Oh, okay.
She killed the guy and then ran away, and then Hulu left it, and then so I didn't watch it ever again.
Yeah, it's.
I feel like the character development in Firefly is a lot like the cock tease of Mulder and Scully in X-Files. Like, it was going to happen. You wanted it to happen, but it never happened until later. Like, way, way later.
I'm sick of, I
watched the first episode of the new season. I have yet to watch more. I need to.
The second episode, like, is very solid.
Okay.
It feels like a Monster of the Week, X-Files, high quality, sure. Good character. I really like the second one. The first one obviously had to bring everything back, and so it suffered from pilot syndrome because it kind of is a pilot in some ways.
It felt like it was just basically, oh yeah, remember that thing we used to do? Hey, you remember that thing we used to do? Hey, there's a conspiracy.
Yeah, no, I really liked the second episode. It felt like classic X-Files to me. My only issue with the second episode is that I figured out who, like, there's the mystery, and it turns out that there's a person, and, you know, like, mm-hmm. as is oftentimes a thing, you kind of can see the person in the background, except in this, the person's just tap dancing in front of the camera, like, mm-hmm. for the first five scenes, you know, like, oh, look, it's that guy again, hello, I bet he's important. But it was okay, it was still a solid episode.
Yep.
And I had somebody shove a letter opener through their ear canal, and it was really fucking disturbing. Raylene's like, I can't watch, and I couldn't not watch, and I regret watching. Because he just takes a letter opener and puts it on your ear, and you're like, no, and he just like puts it in like 3 inches, and it stops. You're like, no, and it just keeps squishing and jerking in further and further. And it was terrible.
I'm going to have to go watch that now.
Yeah.
All right. So let's we gotta hurry up.
You were saying just that it's good?
Yeah, like, it's a good watch. Like, I liked watching.
That's your risky thing. Yeah. As a nerd, you're gonna recommend Firefly.
Yep.
Oh, going out on a fucking limb there, Ethan.
The recommendation is, like, if you've never seen it before,
I like watching Blowjobs and Cake, too. What are the odds?
Not a huge fan.
Not a huge fan of Blowjobs and Cake?
I'm kidding. Of course I am.
Wait, but now it seems like you're retracting.
Yeah. No. Who doesn't like
blowing? I like those cakes? Jobs of blowing. Yeah,
guys. Yeah, that's so good. What is it? No, like when I first got into it, I watched the movie first. Like, it doesn't explain a whole lot.
You watched the movie first?
Yes.
The fuck?
No, I liked it. Then I went back, got the backstory, and then I watched the movie again.
So how could you like that? Yeah.
No. What?
The movie, like, when I first got introduced to it, action. If you made it through like 3 episodes of that season and saw the movie first, I think you'd just fall over and be like, "Well, this is fucking stupid."
I liked the stories from each episode. Like, I liked that shit.
And then, yeah, I agree with Ethan. I didn't watch it in the order that he did, but I agree with the episodes. The episodes had a lot of good character. It had character development, but it just had those characters interacting with each other, and that's what I enjoyed about the show. It wasn't specifically the overarching storyline, but it was more of those characters just. It's like a sci-fi sitcom in a sense.
Bounty Hunter episode is so good.
Jubal Early is probably he is the best character of that whole show. If they made a new series with just about him, oh, it'd be so good.
It's almost chilling threats. Yeah, here I am, just like, you ought to be shot.
That
Is that the same episode where Jane wakes up, goes, grabs a blanket, pulls it down, all the guns are sitting there like, oh yeah, Jane's gonna, nope, he's going back to bed.
He just wanted the blanket. He wasn't uncovering the guns, he just wanted the blanket. Yeah, that's good stuff. And that's like, oh my god, it's just so fucking chilling when Kaylee, like, he's talking to Kaylee and she's begging, he just goes, you ever been raped? Like,
yeah.
Oh,
like,
what? Yeah. Where what? Is this going?
Oh god.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's the most horrific, threatening thing anybody's ever said to a character on a show.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't even threaten to do it. He just asks her so nonchalantly. Hey, you ever?
Yeah.
Building that fear.
Fucking awesome.
Right. We gotta go. We're starting to hurry.
Yeah. Okay. So X-Files is good. Watch the new X-Files. But the thing I was actually going to recommend, it kind of ties into the previous one. So Hulu. Most people use Hulu to watch like current shows because that's the advantage it has over Netflix. There's another really fucking amazing advantage Hulu has over Netflix, which is that it has the Criterion Collection, which is, if not every, there might be one or two movies that they don't have for like rights reasons or whatever, like Armageddon or something. But it has basically every single movie in the Criterion Collection, which... The Criterion Collection is the greatest movies ever fucking made. So, you know, go on Hulu and watch stuff on the Criterion Collection. Because that's all those things like Seven Samurai and the Seventh Seal, not to stick with movies that have seven in the title. But just
what's Criterion. In the box, Nathan?
Yeah. Is seven in the Criterion Collection? Probably. I think it is. The other day I watched Watership Down, which is a great kids movie if you like watching rabbits disembowel each other.
Very different from Down Periscope.
Fucking traumatic.
Why is that a kids' movie again?
Because it's about bunnies. And they're like, yeah, oh, I know. Bunnies, and then they just start murdering each other, and it's like, ah!
I remember.
Yeah. Well, last year it got inducted into the Criterion Collection, so now it's on Hulu.
Nice.
Yeah, because again, all the Criterion movies.
So I'll recommend. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because I, for the longest time, could not even think about getting into that show at all. And I watched the first two because I had finished something out and was just like, I need something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two episodes were just fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
Like, the best toilet humor of wonderfulness I've ever seen. So I'm going to keep watching it. I think it was because my brother's ex-girlfriend was a real shit dick, and I just, like, I really hated her a lot, and she loved Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah, that can turn people off. But, yeah, The Gang Gets Racist is probably the best pilot of a show that you'd ever have.
The ending of that fucking episode was perfect. Oh yeah. My god, how's that ass?
And the show, so you haven't even gotten into Danny DeVito being on it.
No,
yet.
I haven't.
Like, the show really, because that's when the gang is complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once Danny DeVito's on the show.
Jeff is marathoning it as well. Yes. So he just, because the first season is only seven episodes long, and then each of them are only 10. So yeah, when Danny DeVito pops in, so good.
Whore.
God.
And again, the Halloween flashback episode has the greatest single sight gag I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. That one, the Halloween one, and the Christmas special. The Christmas special is easily my favorite one ever.
He's talking about all the elves coming to visit his mom.
Yeah.
You know, the Christmas tradition where a whole bunch of elves come over and go upstairs and give your mom.
And they give you presents.
And then they go wrestle with your mom upstairs.
Yeah. Charlie, I think your mom's a whore.
Although I don't think that my voice is going to shift anyone who doesn't want to watch it. I'm just saying, if you were skeptical of it or had some reason, like your brother's ex-girlfriend was a twat, like, and she liked it a lot, there, it's worth watching. You'll forget all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it goes into that cringe humor thing. The people who like that and like...
Kirby Enthusiasm. It really is in that same vein. It's basically, it's horrible people doing horrible things.
Mm-hmm. It's blue-collar Kirby Enthusiasm. And Kirby Enthusiasm, see, he's white-collar high-class, and they're the blue-collar low-class, but they're basically the same thing, where pretty they're terrible much. People doing terrible things while there's train wrecks around them.
Yeah, and you can, I mean, you see things set up for later on as well, and you're like, oh, that's going to be a callback. Oh, my God.
Oh, gang solves the gas crisis. Oh, I'm envious that you're going to get to see that.
That and Who Pooed the Bed?
Who Pooed the Bed is classic. Gang solves the gas crisis.
Ah, the gang recycles.
You count I'll count the gas while you pour it in.
Yeah. Visually.
One, two.
I'll do a visual pat down. Yeah. Let's make sure they're right to come in. All right. We should probably call it there.
All right. Have a good night, folks. Go to Wagpacka next year.